Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Find us at stevejonesshow.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. And of course, if you aren't able to catch all of the live shows, we always put them on as podcasts at stevejonesshow.com, as well as iTunes and Google Play and the Apple Podcast app. If you do listen to us on iTunes, don't hesitate to leave us a review. Sean Carey here, and Steve Jones on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Be with you live till 5, and then we'll have our late-day news roundup. Chris Elio at the anchor desk this afternoon. Be with you till 6:30, and then we will have Phillies on deck from Citizens Bank Park. We've got the Phillies and the Miami Marlins tonight. The Marlins getting two yesterday and evening their record on the season at 62-62. So the Marlins looking to stay hot against Phillies right-hander Mark Leiter Jr. tonight. Another big day yesterday for Giancarlo Stanton, hitting a home run in game one of that doubleheader yesterday. Justin Nicolino will start for the Marlins tonight, and he's on the heels of one of his best outings of the season, pitching five innings of one-run ball in a 3-1 win over the Mets last Friday. As we mentioned, Giancarlo Stanton, he is entering the game with a league-leading 46 home runs. He needs one RBI to reach the century mark for the first time since 2014. Pirates look to slow down the red-hot L.A. Dodgers. They'll meet again tonight in PNC Park. The Dodgers have won the first two games of that four-game set, defeating the Pirates last night 8-5 after capturing Monday night's game 6-5 in 12 innings. So you got the Pirates winning that 6-3 game, the Little League Classic Sunday night over the Cardinals, and then going right back to Pittsburgh, leaving on a jet plane from Billtown to the Berg, and then they got to play 12 innings, pushing midnight on Monday night. Pirates have lost 8 of their last 10. L.A. first baseman Adrian Gonzalez collected his 2,000th career hit with a double down the right field line last night in the 6th, and he has a hit in 4 of his past 5 games and 9 of his last 12. Hill for the Dodgers and Williams, 5-6 for the Pirates tonight. You're starting pitchers. And that is a 7:05 start tonight, PNC Park, just same start time as the Phillies-Marlins game tonight here on WKOK. Billy Payne, who oversaw multi-million dollar purchases of land to enhance hospitality, instituted several Grow the Game initiatives, and saw Augusta National admit its first female members. He has retired as chairman of the club and the Masters. Billy Payne is 69. He took on the role in 2006 and presided over 11 Masters tournaments. He will be replaced by Fred Ridley, a former United States Golf Association president who won the 1975 Amateur. Payne said in a statement, "The privilege I experienced serving as chairman of Augusta National and the Masters was far greater than I could have imagined. I retire knowing it's simply the right thing to do and at the right moment to open the door and invite someone new to be called upon to lead, bring forth new ideas, and craft a new vision that will honor our founders and serve the game of golf for many years to come." Payne's retirement will be effective at the beginning of the new club season in mid-October. He will assume the title of Chairman Emeritus, according to Augusta National. An Augusta National member since 1997, Payne was instrumental in bringing the Olympic Games to Atlanta in 96 and served as the head of the Atlanta Olympic Committee. And as Augusta's chairman, Payne welcomed Condoleezza Rice and Darla Moore as the first female club members in 2012. That was after the club had been under pressure for more than a decade to do so. All right, so we're just a little over 48 hours away from high school football cranking up across the central Susquehanna Valley. And of course, we've got you covered here on WKOK and on three of our brother stations as well Friday night on Sunbury Broadcasting Stations. And as the games go on Friday night, don't forget to go to our scoreboard page, WKOK.com. Keep that updated throughout the night. We will have live coverage of Montoursville at Shikellamy Friday night, 6:30 pregame, and kickoff at 7 with Kevin Herr, a.k.a. The Suit, and the coach, Dick Hort. And we hope to hear from Kevin next half hour when we dive into our first high school football roundtable of the season. Seawolves Grove travels to Milton on Friday night. Seawolves Grove call over on Eagle 107 and 107.3 with Pat O'Brien, Ryan Brandt, and Zach Showers. And the Milton call on Talk Radio 1380 WMLP with Steve Williams. Lewisburg will start their season with a new head coach at Christy Mathewson Friday night. Take on Hughesville. That's a 7:30 kick, 7:30 Friday night. And that'll be live on 100.9 The Valley with Greg Wetzel and Justin Michaels. And Greg Wetzel on the other side of the glass. He'll be joining us in the next half hour as well for our high school football roundtable.
Now, Pat O'Brien can't do it today, right?
That is correct. Yeah, he's got his day job, keeping him busy.
Mike Ferlazzo?
Maybe it is a conference call with Mike Ferlazzo.
Oh, that's right. We lost Mike.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's really scary when you hear one guy going through the hallway saying, "Et tu, Brute?" I went, come on, you can't do it.
Coup d'etat?
Coup d'etat. Is the Suit joining us on the show today?
As far as I know, the Suit is joining us on the phone line, yes. As the process is underway to get Suit Light to Reading tomorrow, he goes, I was texting him over the lunch hour. He goes, "I think I'm out of room in the trunk, so I think I'm available for 3:35.
So he threw Suit Light in the trunk? Well, what kind of operation is this?
I know.
I mean, do you want to be associated with this? I don't know. I know I don't.
So, yeah, we'll have Greg and Steve Williams with us in studio. And also, in lieu of Pat not being here, we're going to play a little portion of my interview with Seals quarterback Logan Labby. We recorded that about a month ago. We'll play that in its entirety Friday night over on Eagle 107 on Seals Game Day at 6.
Good.
What's your appetite on that?
Sounds good.
Yep.
We would do this on a Thursday, but because of the Phillies game tomorrow with the Marlins, we won't have a show tomorrow. So that's the reason why we're doing it today. Very nice.
Congratulations to you and Jack Ham, by the way. The big game the Sunday showdown.
We did win.
I just got to Bowman Field on Sunday. I got there a little early because I wasn't sure where I was going to park. So I was able to go in the media room and kill some time and I already had an idea of what stories I was going to write for Monday morning, so I got a head start, got those done. And then I thought I'd shoot you a text, and it was going on 4. He should be done by now. So I thought I'd check in and see how you're doing. And Adam Amin sends his best. He was doing the radio coverage of the game on ESPN on Sunday night.
He's a great guy.
Oh, he was awesome. It's great to finally meet Adam in person. So we're going to shoot to get Adam Amin here next week. We'll talk some college football with Adam.
Good.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Well, we're down 2 after 8 holes. So this isn't good. we're looking at each other. And you know what really is bothersome? Is that both of us feel like we're actually, through 8 holes, both actually playing not great, but decently. We're both playing. We're like, God, how can we be down in this match? We're down 2. Jack then parred 9 and got us to within 1. I parred 10 and got us tied. Then we lost 11. Now we're down 1. Jack then had a great par at 12 to keep us down 1. He had a great tee shot in him. All right. And then we have done 13. I won 14 to tie it. I won 15 to put us in front. Jack had a great par, you know, so I parred 14, 15, and then he parred 16, but that was a halve. And then he parred 17 and made it 2-1, and we won. So that's how we did it. We're like, all right, okay, good. Because same thing. He leans over to me before the first tee. Look, we can't lose to these guys. So, look, we had a blast. We had a lot of fun. A great side story I've got to tell you off the air. But and there's nothing dirty, nefarious, or anything about it, but just an interesting story about money that I've got to tell you about that you're going
to
love.
I can't wait to hear it.
It deals with a bottle of wine and the fact that Jack and I were like, oh, we wouldn't buy that.
and if one person knows, Jack knows.
he knows.
Oh,
I'm saying,
yeah.
Oh, no. But he without seeing the bill, he almost picked up the tab. Right? And then when he found out what the actual cost was, he's really glad he didn't quite make the move all the way to the wallet. So I'll tell you about that off the air. We got that coming up. Let's see. Gerald Hodges, Buffalo Bills. He'd be a good guest to have on, don't you think?
Love it.
Yeah. We'll have him on today. Think that's fun? Neil Coolong, how about that? You like the direction we're going in here?
I love it.
Rod Gilmore on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get a hold of Jack again. I got to find out which day we're going to get him on the show. We'll get him on before the season starts. I really don't want to. I talked about Friday, but we got Rod on at 4:06 on Friday. I'd like to get Jack on a day where we could put him in the 4:00 slot. You know what I mean? So
got the Phillies on next Wednesday also, the afternoon.
Yeah.
I was looking ahead at the schedule.
Yeah, that's fine.
So
that's fine. So that's what we have. Yeah. The controversy over this Robert Lee, you know all about this?
Yes, he was scheduled to do an ESPN play-by-play assignment, and then
for ESPN 3 or something like that.
Right, it definitely wasn't on the main mothership channel. No, but still,
I've met this guy. He does Siena basketball. So when I did that CBI game up in Albany, but I don't know, was it 3 years ago? Something like that. He was their play-by-play guy. He's done their play-by-play for 16, 17 years. Now, I don't really remember much about him, but I remember meeting him. Do they think that now by assigning him to Pitt, they just made his life easier? No. You don't think that student body's not going to pick up on it? Lawrence is in town. Lawrence is at the creamery right now. Let's see. I'm going to text Lawrence. Where is my peachy Paterno? There we go. There we go. There we go. Let's see what kind of response we get from him. See what kind of response he gets. Hey, this guy is a good announcer. He does a good job. Right? And now he's labeled with this because evidently somebody leaked it or whatever. I have no idea. Ron in Williamsport. Hello, Ron. Hello. How are you today?
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Love the show. Kind of premature call in. You guys started talking about Mr. Lee, and I thought, well, now's the time to call in. I get my thoughts in.
Sure.
Has the realm of sports, has it gotten to the point where it's become political in your view, to where we just can't seem to separate the two, enjoy the fact that somebody hits a home run, somebody, you know, has a triple-double in basketball without bringing political into the game?
That's an excellent question. This is how I'm going to answer that. Sports to me, now again, this is all personal taste. Now, as a host, sports to me is entertainment. Now, in the games that I do and the games that you follow, Ron, right, the winning and the losing goes beyond the entertainment because I'm going to guess, Ron, you're a big Penn State fan, right?
Huge.
Right. So you're a huge Penn State fan. So the winning and losing on every single possession, you are just hanging on there. And the joy when they win is there, and the massive disappointment when they lose, right, is there as well. But it's about the game that's being played. And your heart probably breaks when a Penn State player or any player gets hurt, right, along the way. And
Correct.
It's an entertainment for you. It's something that it is something that has entertained you. Is that fair to say now for years? Fair?
That's fair to say, but I'll go above and beyond that. It's not just the entertainment value. It's the fact that I want to see these kids excel at both the student-athlete level and the athlete level.
Exactly.
Because they have to be pretty smart to be on the field.
Yep.
That's
you
my,
are.
My take.
I think you echo the thought the process of most of the Penn Staters I run into. The academic part is really, really important to them. They want to see not only a Saquon Barkley excel on the field, but they like to hear that in the summer he took 16 and a half credits. They want to hear
Correct.
That Jason Kabinda. The other day, Franco Harris asked me about the same question. Franco Harris brought up the same thing, Ron. And he said, he was talking about the kind of people are here. And I brought up to him the fact that Jason Kabinda is going to take six classes in the fall. Six. Now, why is he going to do that, Ron? He's going to do that because he wants to get his degree in December, a semester early. Well, that's something that Penn State fans can really embrace. Now, let's take it back to your original question, the politics of it. Entertainers, for whatever reason, feel they have a political platform because, number one, they do have the platform through name recognition that the press will listen to what they have to say. So let's start with that. So they feel they have a platform. You now have athletes feeling that, okay, I have a platform too, and really I'm an entertainer, and I'm going to take that opportunity. Now, on shows such as mine, you know I prefer to talk about the business side of it. I prefer to talk about, you know, the keys to the game coming up, the people and so forth. And I don't really talk much about the politics that's going on out there. I mean, every once in a while, if the Kaepernick thing comes up, I'll talk about, look, you know, he does this well, doesn't do that well, whatever. And I understand that. But, if there's shows on where they're talking about this, you have the ability to turn it off and turn on a show like mine. And if you'd rather hear more about the other, you can turn me off and you can turn them on. So we do have a say into what we want to listen. Now, here's the issue I'm sure that you face, Ron. In watching a TV game where you really want to watch the game, you might get bombarded with other issues along the way. You're sitting there like, well, you just get back to the game. Is that fair?
That is fair.
Yeah. And the great Chief Justice Earl Warren said many years ago, when I open up the paper, I don't want to read the front page. He says, I want to read the sports section first because I want to read about man's accomplishments. Well, now the sports page and the front page far too often resemble each other.
Right. And to a certain extent, I guess I would agree with you on that. But moving forward, just if we could, please, your thoughts just on the Penn State, how we're working out, how things are going as we move forward to the first game of the season. And I'll just shut up and let you talk.
Okay. Thank you, Ron. Appreciate that. It's a really great talking with you. Thanks a lot for calling, and thanks for all the days that you listen. I appreciate it a lot. Look, Penn State's good, make no mistake, and you can see it. When you go to a practice, you know, there was a point in time where Jack and I would go to a practice and we'd look at the first team. This is within the last 5 years. And the two of us would look at each other and say, okay, first team looks good. All right, well, he can't get that guy hurt because of the depth on the second team. He can't get that guy hurt because of the depth on the second team. Now the two of us go in there, Ron, and we look right away and we see, wow, look at the third team. Well, there are a couple guys in the fourth team, like down the road, that are going to be able to really play for you because you can see it there. So the depth of the football team has really changed. And I think it's safe to say they've had a really good camp to this point. I mean, you know, James Franklin and all the mini press conferences he's held, he's talked about the fact that they're going along and doing what he wants and he needs them to do. And I think that should be a sign to everyone that, you know, they are on the right track in this camp. No question, they are on the right track in this camp. And so far, knock on wood, haven't been derailed along the way with anything in this camp. Okay? Ron, thank you. We'll take a break. High school previews are coming up, including the reemergence of the suit. I mean, how many questions am I supposed to ask him?
Two, three. It's up to you.
One.
Okay.
Is there anything less than one?
Apple.
Would you like to make an opening statement?
almost a 1A.
The only guy I know that goes to one practice, gets rained out, never goes back. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Four city blocks of new Fords. Over 40,000 trucks sold. SMC is where you want to be. At Sunbury Motors, you can choose from over 100 new Ford trucks with discounts as high as $13,500. 2017 Ford F-150s are priced as low as $24,419.
See why one is sold every 43 seconds.
There goes another one. Choose from over 60 new 2017 Ford Escapes, and they start at just $19,880. Lease a 2017 Ford C-Max Energy for only $169 a month with zero down.
This amazing vehicle gets up to 95 mpg.
Plus, get 0% financing for up to 72 months on 2017 Ford Fusions, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers. SMC is where you want to be in August for the largest selection and massive discounts on new Fords. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley and all of Central PA for over a century.
Exact energy leases for 36 months with zero down, tax and tags included, 10,500 miles per year. See dealer for details.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I thought for a second they took you hostage. You all right?
We're good.
Oh, I know you're good. You're really good at your job.
Tell my wife that, will you?
Oh, I'd tell Deb that anytime.
And she would laugh in your face.
And I would say, ha to your laughter. Well, because we will not have a show tomorrow, and because certain people are just not available because they're on their 73rd vacation day of the year, we are doing our high school football preview today. The opening game for Shikellamy will be Montoursville, making his triumphant return, as you see on billboards across the area, and also put out on Facebook, Instagram, photo whatever, photo bomb, and all sorts of whatever things he's on, Periscope. The return of the suit to the broadcast booth replacing the incredibly dynamic and capable Mike Ferlazzo.
We may actually even Facebook Live just to cover every basis.
Take that, Periscope.
That's right.
A message from this station, Periscope, and the Ad Council. All right. opening game of the season. What is the read that you have early from Shikellamy? Because Montoursville is normally a team that will throw the ball and throw it well.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's a team that is going to be looking for that type of an offense again. I mean, you're looking at maybe the number five or six quarterback in the state in Bryson Mussina, who's actually gone. And that's the big problem right now Montoursville has, is they're still trying to figure out where they're going to come up with about 3,500 yards of offense, because that's what graduated with Ott Lewis in the backfield with Nolan Ott and Torin Lewis, and then the receivers of Mitchell Rothrock and Tom Shea. So that's going to be the big question for Montoursville. But the big answer for Shikellamy is the fact that this may be one of the fastest teams Todd Tilford has had in his years at Shikellamy. I was talking to him a couple of weeks ago. That was one of the things that he mentioned first and foremost. This team is absolutely fast, and they have got a lot of talent coming back. Starting quarterback Tate Krankowski is back. You have running backs that are back, both Joey Falk and Gabe Tilford, one of Todd's sons. You have wide receiver Hunter Dodge back and a veteran there. You've got a veteran at tight end, Josh Krieger, who they're going to try and get into the offense maybe a little bit more than they have in the past, with opening things up out of the wing tee a little bit more. You're going to see less wing tee and a little bit more of a mix in the offense. And then you've got a young guy like Darrell Lyles, and basketball fans know this guy really well. He was the center for Shikellamy for basketball as a sophomore and started many games. He's 6'3", 245. He is going to be an outstanding target for Krankowski at tight end, and sometimes they'll split him out at receiver. So optimistically on this offense, you've got all your skill positions back. The side that Todd Tilford is going to be looking at, and what I've been looking at through the summer practices, has been the offensive line. And that's where they're going to have to answer some questions. They lost a couple of key players in the offensive line. Guys have filled in very, very well. I thought they looked really good in the scrimmage against Southern Columbia, a quality defense. They protected Krankowski well. And when you can do that and Tate has time, he's going to find these receivers throwing the ball. And, of course, as we talked about before, the running game with the speed of Falk and Tilford could give teams a lot of problems on the outside.
And we're out of time, so Greg, Steve, sorry. for you personally, how exciting is it for you to get back in there on Friday night after taking a sabbatical to watch your son?
You know, I enjoyed last year watching it from the stands, you know, watching him play his senior year. But I'll tell
Shikellamy
you what,
fans enjoyed it too.
it's not the same watching it as being in the booth and getting a chance to call it. I have to admit, it's a lot less stressful to call a game than it is to watch a game.
That's probably true. Hey, have a great broadcast. Good luck moving SL down to Albright there. SL stands for Suit Light.
Yeah, there's nothing light about the stuff in my car right now, I can tell you that. There's no room in the trunk anymore. Either he's taking too much stuff or our car is just not big enough. We may have to talk to Sunbury Motors for next summer.
I wouldn't have put him in the trunk. I think that's kind of cruel, don't you?
Well, it may be the only spot we have left.
I believe it. That's an exciting time, though, to move him into school like that. Hey, do well with that. Hope everything goes well for him. Have a great broadcast. It'll be fun for you to be back with Dick Horton. It'll be fun for all the Shikellamy fans as well, all kidding aside. It's great to have you back.
It is great to be back. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks again. It was great joining you again, Steve, and I'll see you in a couple of days, actually.
Yeah, I'll be there on Monday. Yeah, look
good.
Forward to it, Kev. Thanks, Kevo. Appreciate it.
Yep. Take care, guys.
All right. Lewisburg is going to open up. They've got Hughesville. Okay, Greg Wetzel, it is good to hear you back again. Hello, my friend.
Hello, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Great.
Okay, so set this up. I asked Kevin to do an overview of Shikellamy. Give me a little overview of what you think of Lewisburg as a starting point.
Well, new coach this year, So we're going to see some different things on offense from Lewisburg this year. They're going to go to more of a pro-eye offense. I think they're going to try to run the ball a little more, establish the run more. And this year, it might be a good thing to do that because that's where they have experience returning on the offensive line. They do have a quarterback back, Nick Shedleski, who will be a sophomore this year, and Dylan Farinato is back as a wide receiver for them. But they have about three or four kids that they're looking at running the ball right now, and I think they're looking for one of those kids to step up and take charge of the running game right now.
You mentioned it's a pro-style offense. You mentioned that fits the offensive line.
Yes.
Does it fit the skill position, guys?
Yeah, I think it really does. Dylan's the one that's only one back that's had a lot of playing time, but they moved one of their a backup wide receiver into tight end, a Drevin Dobler. And I think he's fit for that blocking game in there. And I think they'll be successful with that, running that type of an offense.
Give me an idea, Greg, of what you think about the defense to help set things up.
That's something that it's going to be hard to say because they scrimmaged Selins Grove last week, and Selins Grove threw the ball really well. They have a quarterback that's been there, I think, forever. The Libby kid, and he did a real nice job throwing the football. But certain situations, Lewisburg did get some pressure on them. They have Farinato's the only returning starter in the secondary, so it was nice to get that work in. They had some bumps and bruises there, you know, in terms of plays, but overall they didn't do a bad job. They intercepted at least one ball and knocked a few passes down, but they got a lot of work on Saturday on pass defense, that's for sure.
Wow, and Hughesville will be the opener, so good luck with that coming up on 100.9 The Valley. Look forward to it, and great to have you back, Greg.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
All right, Steve Williams, I think, has joined you in the studio as well on WMLP. Milton is going to open with Selins Grove. You just heard Greg's scouting report, Steve, on Selins Grove. Tell us about Milton, because there's been a lot of changes. Did more players come out this year? What kind of offense are they going to run with the new staff?
Yeah, they've got a lot of new faces. They have 54 on the roster, which is incredible.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's a big number.
Yeah, they ended up with 21 in uniform in the last game of the season last year. The new coach is Phil Davis, and he works at Milton. And I talked to him last night, and he said, I sit in that room right over there, and every time a kid goes by, I grab him out of the hallway and ask him if he's going to come out and play for me. So it's obviously worked. He really has a big freshman class coming in. The junior class is probably the smallest in the numbers, but they're going to switch things around a little bit. They got most of their returning guys are skill guys, including the quarterback, Phil Davis, who will be in his second full year as starting, and that is the coach's son. And they will be going to a spread offense. They've got Alex Garcia back. He played a lot at tight end last year. And Jaleel Garrison, who was very quick. Now, he was a halfback last year. And, of course, in that spread offense, you're not going to run a whole lot out of that. But, you know, looking to get Phil out into the open and do some throwing. Unknown with Phil is that he broke his collarbone playing baseball back in the spring, and he's got some pins and plates. Now it's in his non-throwing arm, and it hasn't really affected his throwing, but where it has affected him is he didn't get to spend a lot of time in the weight room. So he has grown to 6 foot. They were hoping to have him in at about 180, but they said, you know, after workout, he's teetering around 160. So they'd like to get a few more pounds on him.
Success breeds success. Milton has not had a lot of it. So in the opening month, to get something that breaks through and just to win a game in the opening 3 or 4 weeks of the season, what do you think that would do for these kids and their confidence?
Oh, that would be huge because, you know, if you think about it, the kids that are seniors have only won one football game since they started playing. If they played as freshmen, they won back in their freshman year. They haven't won in the last 2 years. And I know that, you know, when the previous coach, George Goodwin, came in, he said, you know, the hardest thing wasn't teaching these kids football or getting to do things right. It's getting them to think like winners. And that's going to take a while. That's probably going to be the toughest job. He's got some kids here. He's got a good core of returning defenders that played a lot. You know, of course, they had, you know, many, many different iterations of offenses and defenses last year with kids off and on the team and whatever. So they did get a lot of playing time, but, you know, getting them to believe in themselves, well, you know as well as I do, you know, with a high school boy, that's a tough thing thing to do.
When you close the year with 21 or whatever it is, and now you've got 50-plus there, at least now, you know, as a new coach, he can run a legitimate practice. And that is something nobody really thinks about.
Yeah, actually, and, you know, we talked about that last night. He said one of the best things is that, you know, the second-teamers are no longer the scout team. He actually has a scout team, and they are able to run, you know, good quality practices. And that is, he said that's really the biggest difference with that is just having the bodies and being able to do that. And the other thing is he said, you know, he was looking to he wanted to get up to 60 because he figured, you know, by the end of preseason, he says you usually get about 10 of them that'll, you know, they'll get hurt or they'll quit or whatever. He said,
yeah,
he's only had one kid that's left the team.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Steve, WMLP coming up on Friday night. Best of luck. It's always great to have you back. You do a wonderful job.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Now, I shouldn't say out of nowhere because I'd found out this afternoon who's going to be here. But for the first time ever in the Sunbury Motors studio is my good friend Mark Lawrence. Mark?
Wow. I heard Kirk Herbstreit is here somewhere. Where is this?
Somewhere.
A big sports celebrity somewhere?
Yeah, Herbie's around somewhere. We've got him stashed here in the basement.
Wow, this is really exciting. This is quite the studio. I've never seen that. I took a selfie, and I'm going to put it on WKOK's Facebook page in case folks haven't seen it. This is really neat.
Yeah, no, look. This has been an incredible, it would turn out, what started out as an incredible opportunity has turned into an incredible run. I've enjoyed this as much as anything I've done along the way. What do you have coming up tomorrow? I mean, before I get to the 435, unless you already have it already, if you could play it back, Sean, and remind even Mark what he has tomorrow.
No, I can find it here quick. Yeah.
Yeah, he says he's going to find it for you.
He's going to find it. I don't know. Tomorrow we have the Nittany Lion Hotline on the coaches show. The football coach is on.
6 to 7 tomorrow.
Right, so that's the big highlight.
It's going to be Andy Frank, Charger recruiting, Dwight Galt, strength and conditioning coach, and Bob Warming, the men's soccer coach. They open up the season on Friday night. And then next week, James Franklin will join us on the show.
Well, fantastic. Well, we're really excited. Of course, the Inside Penn State Athletics has already started at the beginning of your show. So that's when you start to – the air can change a little bit. It can feel a little fall. Yeah. But when you hear you open the Inside Penn State Athletics, you know that it's time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it feels like it. Does it feel like it to you? Because you've been ramping up for a month and a half now.
Well, when they started in late July – you're like, okay, it's late July, so it doesn't really feel that.
It doesn't count yet.
But now, when they went through the first scrimmage, that was about the time I thought, okay, here we go. Now they're really ramping up and getting close.
This is it.
So did you find the promo, Sean? The 435 promo?
We did. Here we go.
All right.
Okay.
Here, play it.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence, WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. If you've been listening lately...
He has a right to free speech, but
really?
That does not mean he has a right to employment when his personality and his internet presence clearly names him as a Nazi.
And on Thursdays, On the Mark, back to open phones enjoying an argument, and we'll include you in the fray. On the Mark, 8:30 to 10 on WKOK, and you can hear On the Mark anywhere in the world if you're using the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
Yeah, you know, the app.
You love that.
And what happens is what people don't realize is sometimes he'll do this pause. That's Mark trying to get it to 60 seconds. Now, think of all
you
the...
You pulled back the curtain. Thank you.
I mean, all the years, all the arguments you and I have had, I mean, really, I mean, we're good at it.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's think of one we've had.
Well, it's like the lady said, do you have the right to employment? People thought I might be talking about you or something,
Sure, absolutely.
He can say what he wants, but does he have the right to employment?
Does he have the right to be employed? Say it. And that actually is an interesting point because I don't know who you were talking about when you were speaking with her. I don't know if it was Kaepernick or whomever.
No, we were talking about Dave Riley from WHLM in Bloomsburg. He's no longer there because
That's right. I remember the story.
Because of the, you know, the accusations or the information about him and so on.
Well, I mean, you know, in our business... I'll give you a good example. Nothing to do with anything political whatsoever. A guy that for 15 years did the Boston Red Sox, Don Orsillo, they decided not to renew his contract, only because they wanted to take somebody else and move them into the spot. what's really the difference between that and I don't like what you said?
Well, and that's
you're
it.
Still
it,
out of a job.
And when we're in this business, it isn't just like the normal public square. I always think of it as you're on a soapbox in the public square and everybody's looking at you. Yeah. So what you do reflects on your company. What you do reflects on your colleagues. So if I feel a certain way on the radio, people say, well, Steve Jones works there too. So does Sean.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.